Hello, everybody. One time I heard a speaker addressing Christians, and he said this to them. He said, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would the evidence prove you guilty? It was kind of a jarring question. It was kind of a shocking question to hear that, you know, like looking at yourself, would my conduct, the way I live my life, would it prove me guilty of being a Christian? And it's kind of a jarring, it's kind of a shocking question again, but it's not really too far off from the way Jesus talked. Today, we're continuing our study called Jesus Saves. We've been studying the Sermon on the Mount, and we're in this part of the Sermon on the Mount that's called the Beatitudes. And there's eight of them, and we're actually on the last one today. So this is great. It's going to be like a sort of graduation in this way, too. We're kind of graduating from the Beatitudes. And all the Beatitudes together, I want you to think about, they're like a mirror that reflects the way a Christian ought to look, the way a Christian should look. They reflect the way a follower of Jesus should walk in their life. And so, like I said, this Beatitude that we're looking at today, it's the last one. And it's more beefy than the other ones. And it's like, you know, lots of beef, lots of cheese. It's one of those kind of tacos, if you're familiar with them. And it's heavy duty. And I do want to warn you that it is a little bit of a heavy topic today. And it's the topic of persecution. And so we're going to look at that here today. This particular Beatitude has three verses, and the other Beatitudes have only had one, so it's a little bit unique in that way. And you're going to see that it's more intense. So let me read it. It says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is God's word. Today, we're going to see this idea that persecution proves something. Persecution is like evidence. It's like proof of something. Proof of something that will bring a lot of joy and a lot of happiness. If you ever watch like detective shows like Blue Bloods or the new one that we've been watching a little bit, Chicago PD, you know, as they're solving a crime, they're always looking for that smoking gun. They're looking for that bit of evidence that brings clarity, that shows that a certain person did the crime. And that's kind of the thing that we're thinking about today. We're looking at that, what persecution proves, what it shows. And here it is. Persecution, it proves genuine faith in Christ. This is what we're going to see today. This is what we're going to experience as we look at this passage, that persecution, it proves genuine faith in Jesus Christ. So today we're going to look at two questions. We're going to just ask the question, what is persecution? We're going to think about that for just a couple of moments. And then we're going to think about, what does it prove? What does persecution show? What does it demonstrate? So let's start here with, what is persecution? Persecution means to be pursued with hostility. I was kind of thinking of like a brother chasing a sister around the house or something like that, you know, like pursuing them with hostility. So if that picture could be in your mind, it's sort of like that. It means to pursue someone with anger. It means to chase after them. It means to go after someone with aggression. And if we look at the second line of this Beatitude that we're looking at, remember there's three lines here. The second one, it kind of points out some examples of what persecution is. It says, blessed are you when people insult you. So that's one. And then we have the general word there, persecute you. And then falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. So we've got those kind of ideas. The idea of speaking to someone with contempt, you know, insulting someone. We got this idea of saying false things, of speaking evil about somebody else. A little bit later, Jesus says that the prophets of the Old Testament, the prophets before the followers of Christ right now, they were persecuted way back when. And in other places, Jesus talks about how they were killed, and Scripture shows that they were killed. They were chased after to the point of being killed. And so persecution means to pursue with hostility. So it's not a new idea to say that persecution is unpleasant. And it's not a new idea to say that it's done intentional. It's not a random thing. It's not an accidental thing. There's a reason. And some people are persecuted because of the color of their skin or their ethnicity. And church, you know, Genesis, we have friends who are people of color that experience persecution regularly. And it's they experience it more than white people. They're judged by their skin color instead of their conduct. And we see that happening. And now this is not a message about that topic, that particular topic, but it's important for us to acknowledge and to empathize with those who suffer. Scripture tells us that God hears the cries of injustice, and we can't ignore them. Now, others experience hostility because of their political background, who they align themselves with politically. And, you know, we hear all about the blue states and the red states right now. And others are persecuted about specific things that Jesus is going to mention right here. So let's look at this. Jesus here says in verse 10, he says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness." And then the second one here, "Blessed are you when you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." So we see there's two here, and let's take them one at a time. First of all, hostility will come because of righteousness. It will come to people because they are doing what is right. They're trying to live in a right way. We looked at this earlier in the Beatitudes, that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And we looked at what that meant. It meant righteousness is doing what is right. Look here with me at Matthew 6, 33. Jesus says, "But seek first," this is in the Sermon on the Mount, "seek first his kingdom and his righteousness." So it's his righteousness. It's God's righteousness. It's doing and saying what Jesus says is right. And we, most of us would know that that the world stands at odds with what God says. And look here at what Scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." So you see, Scripture, it promises that if we try to live a godly life, we try to live a life that is right, we will be persecuted. And it's difficult. So you see, for living right and sharing right, you will be persecuted. And also, secondly, you will be persecuted because of me, Jesus said, because of Christ, because of your testimony of what he has done in your life. When you share how he has saved you and the work that he's done in your life, this, you'll be treated with hostility by others for sharing and declaring that you follow Jesus. It's still kind of okay in America to share that you're a Christian, as long as you don't go any farther than that, as long as you keep it private. But the minute that you begin to share it is when you'll experience the hostility. But Jesus commanded us to share the gospel, that Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Jesus famously said this over in John chapter 15. He said, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first." You see, Jesus was persecuted. He was persecuted before us. And he tells us, he promises that if it hated him, it's going to hate us the world will hate us as well. You see, when persecution is for righteousness' sake and for Jesus' sake, it's like that smoking gun. It's like that evidence. It's like that proof. It's like that outside voice that provides evidence for you, evidence for me, that Jesus Christ and his righteousness is your priority. It's my priority. It's that feedback that we need that helps us. So how does that flesh out in our day-to-day living? What does it mean to be persecuted in the United States today? Well, it means as followers of Jesus, we must be willing to share the truth, the moral truth with others, that we're willing to do that. But for example, we're willing to share about the sanctity of human life, or willing to share the purity or the sanctity of human sexuality. Followers of Jesus also must be a voice for those who do not have a voice. We must use our position, the position that God has given us by his generosity and his grace, to help the marginalized, to help those who have no voice, that are voiceless. And it means not being afraid to share your faith, to really get into it and share the reason for the hope that you have within you, to point people to Jesus Christ, to point to them that he is the reason that you have peace in your life, to point to him as the way, the truth, and the life, like Scripture says. It's no secret, if you do these things, you will not be popular. You will not be held up. The one that experiences hostility, though, Scripture says here, the one that experiences persecution because of righteousness will be blessed. We will have a blessing that is way beyond what we have here. We'll have profound happiness. The one that experiences hostility, the one that experiences persecution because of righteousness, the Scripture here says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Before we move on, some people are persecuted for being obnoxious, you know, for being kind of annoying. And you can be persecuted for being annoying and obnoxious. We all know that. We've all seen that. And we've probably all experienced it at one point or another. You can be persecuted for being a very unpleasant person. You can be persecuted for being offensive to others. And some think that because they're persecuted, that they're persecuted for righteousness' sake. But it's not the case if you're just a mean person, or you're obnoxious, or you're not on your A game, okay? And so we can't confuse what Jesus is saying here about persecution with some ideas that we have on our own. So let's move on here. Well, what does it prove? What does persecution for Christ, what does it demonstrate? What does it show that's important? It proves the self-denial living that Jesus has called each and every Christ follower to. It proves that we're living in a way that is about denying ourselves and elevating others. Look at this passage over in Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus says this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" This passage, it makes me think of a good friend of mine, Avdal Bokhtar, who lives in Sterling Heights, Michigan, with his wife Heba and two sons. He has planted two Arabic-speaking churches down there in Sterling Heights area. He's from Egypt, and several years ago, he and his wife Heba, she became a follower of Christ. He led her to know Jesus, and then they had this dilemma. They had this dilemma because Heba was born as a Muslim, and she either needed to recant this newfound faith, or they needed to flee Egypt because it's a capital offense. It's a capital offense idea to convert a Muslim to Christianity. And so they fled to America as refugees. And so when I think of this a passage, I think of someone like that, that really gave up. They gave up their home. They gave up their way of life. They gave up their family. They lived in a way with self-denial. And a question to consider in your following of Jesus is, your following of Jesus, is it about self-denial or is it about self-focus? Is it about self-denial or is it about self-fulfillment? Sometimes Christians are led to be very kind of rights-oriented. Sometimes we're overly eager to make constitutional and legal arguments about things. I'm not saying that there's not a place for it, but often it's an overstretch. Even in this coronavirus crisis, churches have been advised to suspend in-person gatherings, as we all know. That's why we're here online. And but it's been the same for movie theaters and for sports gatherings and all kinds of things, large group activities. But some have seen this as persecution, which I don't believe that it is. To call this persecution, really, it cheapens what persecution is. You see, Jesus has called us to deny ourselves and to take up our cross, to take up our burden. And I'm probably going to get into some hot water with some people for saying this, but I think it's important to say that we need to be careful that we don't conflate being an American with being a follower of Jesus. We don't want to roll the two together. There's distinction. And, I'm an American. I'm proud to be an American. I'm thankful to live in this land. But I'm also a follower of Jesus. And my call to Jesus takes precedence over my call as an American. And Jesus he's called us to have a serving posture in this world. He's called us to be a peacemaker in this culture and in this world that we live in. And so if you are living the Christian's true calling, which is to deny self and pick up your cross and follow him, you're not going to be popular. And it's not always going to be easy. And it's certainly not going to always be pleasant. But you're not living for the acclaim of others. You're living for the fidelity of Christ. You're living for his righteousness. And you're living for your reward, which is in heaven. Now, this is directly in the face of the prosperity gospel. Last year, we had a great message on this idea of what is the gospel. And the prosperity gospel teaches that health and wealth and material benefits are available on tap with God. They're just, all you got to do is name it and claim it, and you will get it. Unfortunately, it's very attractive, but there's no biblical basis for that. But instead, you find this idea, like is recorded in Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. It says, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ to believe in him, but also to suffer for him." You see, we're called, we are promised to suffer for Christ. So there's two basic responses to this message. I know it's heavy. I know it's beefy. I know it's unpleasant, but there's two responses. And the first one is just a great one. It's the only command. It's the only imperative in the whole Beatitudes. And it's this: rejoice and be glad. And it's like this. It's like this picture of this guy jumping in the air. He's leaping. He's jumping for joy. It's like the Lions won the Super Bowl. I mean, what would you do? You would jump for joy, right? Well, the persecution that you have endured has proven your faith. And there's a lot of confidence in knowing, because you've suffered for righteousness and you've suffered for Jesus' sake, that your reward will be great in heaven. It's a huge encouragement, and I hope that you enjoy that encouragement and you do leap for joy. And I hope that you keep striving to live for Jesus and for righteousness sake. And here's the other response. The other response is this: it's a wake up. It's a cup of strong Joe. It's a cup of strong coffee, high octane coffee in the morning that sobers us and wakes us up to this idea. Am I in? Am I living in a way that is congruent with Jesus Christ, with what he's called me to? Or has my way of thinking and faith been just on the consumeristic side of things? Or am I all in for him? You know, going back to that earlier thought, if there was a court proceeding about your faith, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Is there a smoking gun? And if there's not, it might be that you just need to take it more seriously. Taking risk for Jesus and for righteousness' sake, you need to take it more seriously. You may need to repent. You may need to, for the first time, turn to Christ and accept him. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your challenging word to us that wakes us up, that shows us the way, the true way that you have for us. And Lord, may it be in our church, may it be in our community. For your sake, Jesus Christ, I pray this in your name. Amen.
Wow, Norm, thank you so much for that message. Definitely a timely message for everything that's been going on in the past couple weeks. Maybe Norm's message spoke to you in a special way, so I've got a couple next steps to share with you that you can take this week in response to Norm's message. Maybe after listening to that, you're thinking that God is calling you to stand up for what is right and not just to blend in. It's very easy for us to blend in. It's very easy for us to just go along with everything that's going on, but maybe God wants you to just stand up for what is right. And so you can take that step this week. I want you to consider that and pray about that. Maybe today, for the first time, you want to recognize that Jesus is who he says he is, that and make him the leader and forgiver of your life. And if you want to do that today, you want to take that step, it's very easy. You can say a prayer to God, which is really just a conversation with God. You can say, God, I am broken and I am in need of a Savior. I believe that your son Jesus came to this earth, died a death on the cross to pay for my sins so that I could be reconnected with you. God, I accept that gift and I want new life through Jesus. If that is your next step today, if that is the first time that you have had that conversation with God, we want to hear from you. You can text us at 231-412-2866. We want to be able to walk with you and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. If God is calling you to a different next step, I ask that you consider praying about that and maybe let us know in the comment section what God is calling you to do this week.